That will be the third part of the lesson. Hopefully in the next 2 or so weeks that will come up. So last week lesson, we ended on the fact that it is not emotionally, physically, or psychologically healthy for a child to grow up seeing one of the parents drop by now and again, like an irregular visitor, or for that child to be guided completely by either the mother or father alone. For one, God did not intend for where children are involved in the family, for them to be guided, brought up by one party in the parental structure. God expects that mother and father would guide the child. Now that is both emotionally and psychologically and socially. But by socially, I'm looking on relating to your fellow men in a proper way. God meant for that child to be grew up in that balanced home environment. So it is on that I'm reminding, especially would-be parents, that it is not good, neither psychologically nor socially nor emotionally, for the child to be guided simply by the mother or simply by the father. Those were, in effect, some of the points made at the end of the lesson last week. In this second part of this discussion, we want to impress upon the mind of Christian that neither is it spiritually good, neither is it emotionally, psychologically, or socially healthy for a child to grow up in a home environment seeing constant tension, constant quarrel, constant fight, constant vexation and constant animosity between mother and father. When children grow up in a home environment seeing that almost every few days there is an argument, brothers and sisters, young people, you mash up your little picnic if children are involved. You're doing so much harm to that little boy or little girl grow up with a balanced emotion, with a balancedness both emotionally and psychologically and socially. Constant quarrel, constant animosity, constant bitchiness, constant fight and vexation, that's not good. What all this says to us? That we must put in a lot of thought and effort and preparation that the person we are going to marry to is mature and sensible enough to understand this. Or else what we throw out in society is pure misfits. God doesn't want that. He doesn't. For some parents, the abnormality becomes almost the norm. Brother Mitchell explained that. Some of the things I've mentioned, we're constant quarrel, constant bitchiness, constant animosity, not being able to talk to each other civilly. That's abnormal. But for some parents, they have come to accept that as the norm. That is, when a week or a 2 weeks pass and they don't have quarrel, they begin to wonder what's wrong with us. Because they have become so used to the tug of war. God never meant for the Christian home to be like that. In fact, talk about talking. We are expected as Christians, both as we deal with one another and in our home, to speak to each other civilly and with respect. That's not any achievement. That's not a big thing. That's some of the simple things God expects of his children. That when wife and husband, mother and father, speak to each other, there should be some degree of civility. There should be some degree of respect as you speak to each other, rather than barking after each other, jumping down each other's throat. No, sir. So far, these and other reasons, you need not to be so anxious to be a wife or a husband that you are so anxious to get married, be it as a husband or as a wife, you are so anxious that you discard all of some simple common sense things that you should be mindful and put them in place. Spiritual, moral, social, and maturity standard. Let me go over these. These are important to be in place before you go and make a marital commitment. If you're a child of God, you should have great concern about the spiritual ideas and concept of the person to whom you are going to marry. What does that person think of God, of church, of Christianity? You cannot, if you mean your Christianity any seriously, you cannot just say, I'm a Christian, and you meet this young lady or this nice guy, and you sort of put your Christianity on the shelf, because for now all you want is a wife or a husband. Having some standard is not going to play any part in this. You cannot do that. If you do that, you are going to suffer consequences. Spiritual values, moral values, social and maturity standard. As you court, as both of you get to know each other, note how mature the person is, and that is how the person deals with differences, that is, different of opinion. How mature is the person? How reasonable is the person? A person whose marriage ended up in divorce many years ago was speaking to me, and explaining, in fact, I was the one who asked, how is Hussey? How is the home, your marriage, children? And the person says, Brother Mitchell, we are divorced. I say, I'm sorry, and what? The person said, the person started to list a whole area of grievances that contribute to the dissolvement of the marriage. But one of the things the person said is that, you know, I should have seen it. And the person relate how when she goes up to the stage, she usually travel and she would see things that sells. She has a good job and everything, but you know, you go up, you see some things that, and she buy them and bring them down and sell it and make a few dollars, and it was doing well. That was just a sideline, we would say, making an extra few dollars. But at that time, she was just quoting. And her then fiancé, our financé, realized that she was making a few dollars from that and wanted to be a part of it. So if he knew that she was traveling, he would get some US dollar and give her and what. But what she learned is that if the things they purchase come up to say, $800 worth of things, what she noticed, if out of that 800, she put 600, and he put only 200, he would still insist that the profit share. Now, this is while they were courting. He still want half of the profit. Okay. And she's relating that she said, Brother Mitchell, there are times when we have argument over this when we were courting. And I said, yes, but from then, you should have seen that something is not going to work. And she admit. Because this just called for a little honesty. Eh? You don't have to be smart. A little honesty, a little balancedness, a little maturity. Just a little of those. And you realize that if you put in only, say, one fourth, then you get one fourth of the profit. I was about to say small things like that, but it's not so small because it shows up the person. When you and I now overlook that, we can so bent on getting married that we overlook that. Now, I'm not saying you must make a big fuss over it, but point out to the person, reason with the person, and say, no, but John Brown, this is not reasonable. You put only 200, which is 1/4 of the total, and you expect 50%. That's not reasonable. If you see that the person cannot even see that, common sense should tell you that down the line, when both of you make a lifelong commitment, you are going to have a problem. So when I talk about maturity, that's part of it. The person who is balanced. If you are a Christian, once you are old enough and notice that you begin to have interest in the opposite sex, start, once you realize you start having interest, if you are a young man and you see you start having interest in young ladies, if you're a young lady and see you start having interest in young men, start thinking of your preparedness, your readiness, and how that preparedness and readiness can help you to be ready for a healthy and beneficial relationship. When you enter a relationship that is as important and serious as marriage, and you want that marriage to work, the more prepared you are to enter it, is the better chance you give that marriage to work. And you don't think of being prepared when you are in the marriage. From you start thinking, are finding out that you have interest, think of your preparedness and your readiness for a healthy and beneficial relationship. Both this readiness and preparedness should be thought about both in reference to yourself and to the person in whom you are taking interest. Watch here now. Notice the imbalance. A lot of times what we do, we are always setting standard for the other person. Oh, I like Sarah Jane. How mature is Sarah Jane? How reasonably Sarah Jane. Hold this. No, you need to turn the introspection on yourself. Because if Sarah Jane is mature and you're immature, it will still spell danger for that relationship. Now, when the two persons, the man and the woman, are emotionally, attitudinally, socially, and spiritually ready for a successful, stable relationship, it gives that marriage or that relationship a good foundation for peace and success. I put that in a nutshell. When the two people getting married, when they are emotionally, their attitudinally, that is their outlook, their attitude towards self, the others, towards life, when they are attitudinally ready. For example, if I'm a young man or a young woman planning to get married, if I don't understand and accept the value and the need for sharing, if I don't learn to share, if I'm selfish, then that marriage going to have danger. That's right. These are simple things, but mark them. They work. So when I talk about attitudinally, socially, and spiritually ready, when these are in place, you are giving the relationship, your marriage, a good chance for peace and success. Now, I want everyone to get this, but especially women and especially our young sisters. It is very important that women, and especially young women, be mindful of the enormous cruelty. Did I say cruelty? Yes. Cruelty or cruel treatment that so many women have to endure when they unwisely get into relationship with an immature, selfish, cruel person, and when that woman find herself having to depend on that cruel, selfish man for everything, for especially food and shelter.
Wait.
Many young women don't understand sometimes. I'm saying the same thing, but it's important for this to be kept in mind. When you get involved and either gone to have a child, children, or get married to a man who is selfish, immature, totally ungodly, a lot of times you are getting into enormous cruelty, and suffering especially when you find that for the basic things of life, you have to depend on that selfish man. For the food you eat, because you're out of a job or you have no means of income, you have to depend on him. For shelter, a lot of times, that becomes the avenue whereby some cruel men take disadvantage and mete out cruelty. And the woman that he knows depend on him for everything. I'm not talking about hypothetical case. It's more common than you realize. In fact, let me just drop this here before I say more. That's why we should make sure that we help our girl children
to get either a little profession, a little trade, or education. Are we all there? Are we all there? Very important. Wait. I'm not getting into the area where, okay, God has made that the husband is not, from God's point of view, just the head of the household. So, that's a great privilege, huh? That God made a man to be the head of the household. And God meant every bit of that. But that comes with responsibility. So God, along with that, makes the husband the breadwinner. Are we all there? Are we all there? If you as the wife don't win any bread, you should still be eating bread. Because God fix it that way. Now, wonderful when both the husband and the wife are winning some bread. I have in mind tonight to go to Solomon and read that passage about a virtuous woman. In fact, I may look at that text one Sunday night. A woman who in the home contributes to the whole social, spiritual, economical, material balancedness of the home. The virtuous woman. Great passage. We may look on that another night. So what I'm saying, I'm not dealing with that. There are times when, in that aspect, remember, there are times when the wife may earn more money than the husband. That doesn't flip the coin. The husband is still in the head of the house. Are we all there? But what I'm saying, where husband and wife are both breadwinner, so much the better for that home, for the two people, and for the children. But where, for whatever reason, the wife might not work, and we're not going to go in any reason, though, because we would probably spend the rest of the week going into reason why the wife might not be in a job. What I'm saying is the Almighty God fix it that the husband be the breadwinner. And that is a fact. And I'm saying a lot of men, when they realize that their wife, in many cases their girlfriend, depend on them for the basic necessity, shelter and food. Oh my God, that woman in many cases have to endure so much cruelty. So I'm saying that to you young sisters. Instead of anxiety and haste to get into a man-woman relationship, let that haste and anxiety drive you to get a trade, a profession, or to improve your education. That's important. You may get married where you don't have to work to a person who is earning so much. But that trade, our profession, our education will still be of benefit to you, and if God bless you all with children and whatever. But it's important that we as parents guide our daughters to learning something whereby they can make a living, or encourage them or support them to get some degree of education or whatever. Because there has been too much cruelty meted out
because of the woman having to depend totally on the man for the basic things of life. So again, I'm closing. Don't be so anxious and hasty to get into a man-woman relationship or to have that dolly that you want. God never meant that child to be a dolly. God meant for that child to be seen as a human soul, to be properly guided and have the right example that he or she can grow up knowing God. And God expects that you will help see to it that the person you get into an alliance, a companionship, a marriage relationship with have at least some of the necessary things in place so that both of you can be right parents in God's sight. As I've said, I meant to just take up the passage there by Solomon in reference to a virtuous woman and probably pick out some of the key verses. I may make that one of the Sunday night lessons, in addition, of course, to a lesson that will be looking at how God made it that the church complements the Christian home, and the Christian home complements the church. That will be a lesson also. Thank you.